You know, we spent a lot of the first part of the show today talking about what happened in Montana, the election that's taking place today, and the candidate pushing the reporter, assaulting him, a editorial writer. In fact, it's the publisher. No, it's the editor-in-chief of one of the newspapers. The Billings Gazette is going to join us after 2 o'clock to talk about what happened and what is happening there today. I want to catch up on a different story right now. Stacey St. Clair joins us back in the WGN Radio Allstate Showcase Studios. Her story now, still about the Naperville teen who committed suicide in January, is about the lawsuit which the family is filing. We had a remarkable conversation with her on Monday after, was it the Sunday story?
It was Tuesday.
No, it was Tuesday and Monday.
Tuesday's paper, yeah.
Yeah. And the phone lines lit up and people were talking to us about it. Obviously, you struck a nerve. Can you tell me anything about the reaction to the story that you wrote?
From just my perspective of stories that I wrote, I have never had a bigger reaction in the emails that I'm getting from readers all over the country talking about it. And it is among the top read stories in the history of ChicagoTribune.com in just, you know, 48 hours. So there's been this incredible interest in this story.
It is the story of...
It is the story of Corey Walgren, a 16-year-old Naperville North junior who was in January called into the dean's office on a disciplinary matter involving a recording in which there was audio of a consensual sexual encounter that he had had. And he was called in to meet with the dean and the police and met with them alone for 18 minutes. And then they called his parents, and his mother said on the phone the school talked about it being a child pornography investigation and that Corey could end up on the sex offender registry. And then his mom said, I'll be right there. I'm going to leave work right now and get over there. And in the meantime, they left Corey alone to sit and wait for his mother. He walked out of school and walked about a little less than a mile into downtown Naperville and took his own life from the top of a parking deck.
We don't know exactly how, but he was on the top of a parking deck, and 50 feet below was the surface, and he landed there.
Right.
The family is suing for a minimum of $5 million.
Yeah, they filed a lawsuit yesterday in DuPage Circuit Court against Naperville School District 203 and the Naperville Police Department and the individual police officer and deans who were involved in the discussion.
This story is a few months old, if you will, though mm-hmm. it appears as though you're the first one to really put pen to paper and tell us more comprehensively about it. But people in Naperville have been talking about this story.
And I'm a Naperville resident, so...
You were hearing it, too.
Yeah, and I was hearing a lot of misinformation.
That's why I bring it up this way, mm-hmm. Stacey. So maybe clarify some of the myth or the rumors or the falsehoods. What was said that wasn't true, or what is true about this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get like too much into repeating bad information because it sort of sticks out in the ether that way, but... The original story I heard, that the accusation, not that what Corey was questioned about isn't serious and isn't, serious for the girl who reported it, but the first allegation I heard that was, it was just far more serious than that.
But I also thought, you and I have talked about this on and off the air, and in fact today when I was visiting with a bunch of friends, mm-hmm. the conversation came up again about your story and about mm-hmm. the interrogation that the police and the dean gave this young man for 18 minutes before they called his parents. And is that really the nut of this? Is how intense was that interrogation? Or is it the simple fact that his parents weren't in the room, that they should not have had 18 seconds of conversation with him without his mom there?
I think the Walgren family lawyers would say there shouldn't have been even 18 seconds of conversation. State law states unless there's, you know, a dire emergency or you fear that evidence is going to be compromised, you have to notify the parents.
That conversation could have waited the next day.
Yeah, well, and certainly, you know, when they called Mrs. Walgren, her response was, I'm leaving work right now and I will be there. She told him 50 minutes. She got 5-0. She got there in 35.
By that time, he had wandered off campus. How is it that then, having leveled a charge like that against the kid or mm-hmm. talked to him about these mm-hmm. things, he's not more supervised? Doesn't anybody think that's a challenge for a 16-year-old boy and he can wander off campus?
I think from the response I've been getting from readers, I think that is more so than even the parent notification. They keep asking me, how could you have left? How could someone have left him alone after you do use, you know, his mother says they use terms like child pornography, and the police reports show that they use terms like child pornography. His mother said they, you know, threatened the sex offender registry, which I would imagine, I'm not in Corey's head, but I have to imagine if I was 16 years old and somebody said that to me, I would have been terrified.
My life is over.
Yeah, that's how I would have felt. So that's the question we get a lot. Like, how could you... You know,
$5 million. Who's the suit against? The school?
The school district, 203.
Right. So then what does that mean? You literally, the school district would, if they win a case like this, pay $5 million to the family?
Yeah, well, the jury would decide like how much, but yeah, that's sort of their, like, that's sort of the number the lawyers put in as like the starting point for juries. Like, ask for an excess of.
Is there any
number.
History for this sort of thing? Is this sort of a reasonable pursuit?
You know, I think when, you know, dollar amount aside, because I really don't know how lawyers come up with the numbers they come up with. But I think in a lot of times in civil cases, and it's taken me a long time to get to this point, but I think in a lot of times in civil cases, you sue for the next kid down the line who you try to prevent this for, and not so much for your own. And I, in talking to the Walgreens, they want changes.
His father said as much. Nobody should have to go through this.
Right.
Let's not. And this gets the attention of all the school districts in the world.
Right.
$5 million.
Right. I've heard from so many school administrators.
Really?
Yeah. Who say, we forwarded your story to, you know, our staff. And I heard from a West Suburban police commander who said, I sent this to my department, entire department, reminding them of what the law and our department procedures are.
So let's pause for just a minute. Mm-hmm. And after a quick break, just tell me what the response from the school district is. What happens next?
Okay.
It's 1:50. Stacey St. Clair's second story on this topic, family, is headlined online today. Family of Naperville teen who committed suicide sues school police. We continue to follow this story here on WGN. Daryl Ehrlich is the editor of the Billings Gazette. Gosh, John, why would you talk to the editor of a newspaper in Montana today after 2 o'clock? Stacey St. Clair, a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, is in our studio. She's following up on the story of the Naperville teen who committed suicide in January after having a discussion without his parents at the school. He had what they described as child pornography on his phone. It was a recording of him and another 16-year-old girl having consensual sex, they say. Now the family is suing the police and the school district. The lawsuit, you wrote, seeks more than $5 million. Is the school district pushing back? Is the police pushing back?
Yeah, they both are. They both have issued statements acknowledging that this is a tragedy and that, you know, the Naperville community is hurting from this, but that they believe that they have followed all their procedures and policies and that it was handled properly.
So this isn't going to be settled?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that right now they're in the position of defending their practice.
This texter writes, has anyone spoken to the young woman who was recorded? What about her right to privacy?
She, the Walgren family has repeatedly said that that she's not to blame for anything that happened, that they are concerned about her well-being as well. She was welcomed and attended Corey's wake. So I think there is a lot of concern on the Walgren family side for her and support for her.
Will you be reporting on their family? Will we ever, I suppose some people in Naperville know who this girl is and this family mm-hmm. is. I sure don't need to know mm-hmm. anything about them. What is your attitude about going down that road as a reporter?
My attitude is if she wanted to speak, if her family, her parents gave her, she's 16, so if her parents gave her permission to speak with me, I would welcome that. I've tried to, as much as I could, sort of minimize her involvement in the story, with not to sound callous, but I agree with the Walgreens. She's not to blame for anything. So this is about what happened when, at 1 o'clock on January 11th, adults took Corey Walgren into a room. It's not what happened between, he and this girl, it's what how adults behaved and what their decisions were.
What's the next timeline item then?
I think it just goes into the long, slow legal process. It doesn't sound like the school or the police department are looking to change their practices or their policies after this.
Oh, but the school district must know that if nothing, I'm sure they don't want to admit that they did anything wrong, especially now.
Right.
But you got to have the parent in that room.
I agree with you. They are admitting that they are they're not acknowledging they did anything wrong. But I have to imagine that if this scenario repeats again at the school, I betcha parents are called, and I wouldn't be surprised if students aren't left alone either afterwards.
And isn't no kidding? Excellent point. And isn't it also possibly true, Stacey, that if the mother or father had been in the room and they had the conversation with them there, and the conversation was the same as was without them, mm-hmm. that the young man would not have been guilty of any crime?
According to the, if you read the police reports, they never intended to charge Corey with any crime. They were going to do what was called a station adjustment, which is what you when you go down to the station with your parents, and in this case, probably he'd have to sign a contract agreeing to some kind of something, whether it be community service or classes whatever, and they'd all agree on it. And so that's, I think that's one of the most tragic things about all of this. So maybe if like cooler heads had prevailed or not even not that, just a calmer situation existed and more that, that would have been clearer to Corey.
Thanks for continuing to tell us the story, Stacey. Let's visit again.
Anytime.
First time Stacey and I sat down and had a series of conversations, it was when Rod Blagojevich was in jail.
Yes.
And what do you make, by the way, real quick, of his petition to get out early? He's still pursuing that.
He's never going to give up. And
I wouldn't.
I'm awaiting his petition for the presidential pardon. You know, it's his old boss from The Apprentice. And I think I think President Trump has shown he loves to sort of stick it to Chicago. So and to Obama. So
okay, 1 to 100. 100, it happens. 0, it doesn't. What's the probability of that scenario? Donald Trump pardons Rod Blagojevich or commutes his sentence.
1 out of 100?
Yeah.
6. But I'm still giving it a chance.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, nice to see you.